Tonight, I want us to look at a focus of us receiving joy and happiness. And I gave the title is A Surrendered Heart and a Servant Spirit. If you're looking for joy, if you're looking for happiness, then you are going to find in God's Word that that joy and happiness can only be found in a surrendered heart and a servant spirit. You're not going to find it in any other type of a hardening or softening of your heart or any other type of a spirit. You know, not everyone that will talk about a spirit, not everyone has the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of spirits that drive people that are anything but holy. You agree with that? And all of it's not in the bottle. But there are a lot of different spirits. Bottle. It's not the spirits in a bottle. Although if you notice, people who hit the bottle seem to have a different spirit about them. Okay. Only a slave now would do what Jesus was getting ready to do and was doing. So let's look at this tonight, the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 3 through 7. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Always remind you to remember, when Jesus is talking about all things put under his power at this particular time, all things are put on under his power on earth. He had full say on earth. But all things were not at this junction put into his power that included heaven. That comes after the crucifixion and the resurrection. Then he says, it's all now under my power. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Now, I'm going to give you more of that scripture here in a moment of what else that Simon Peter said to Jesus, and how that whole thing about washing the feet shows a focus on Peter's personality and all of this, that he, when he got ready to put himself into anything, he threw his whole self into it. For the deeper meaning and the deeper message, Jesus was talking about a person's heart. He's talking about the washing that was going to take place in an individual's heart. We love to be served. All of us do. We love to have other people wait on us. We like that. We don't very seldom see it, but we like that. Here's the key takeaway for you tonight. You ready? More than anything else, God desires these two things from his followers, a surrendered heart and a servant spirit. To find this kind of a joy and happiness, three steps must be taken. And now we're going to look at the three steps. Step number one, see opportunities. See opportunities. In every situation that's going on with you, see opportunities. When the world has covered you up and getting ready to bury you in life itself, see opportunities within that, knowing that God is going to bless his children. The reason that so many of us will miss out on a blessing from God is we don't believe he's going to bless us in the mess that we're in. We do not understand how God could have such love for us as his children that even though we've stirred up a hornet's nest and we're in a mess, that God will truly give us a way out. Folks, there's no situation that you're in your life that there's not a way out of it. And that way out of it is always Jesus. as long as you do it now, I'm going to be really pushing the name of Jesus more than y'all have heard in years, because as I shared with you this morning, that is the problem now. They said teach, but just don't use the name of Jesus. So you're going to hear me using it a lot more. Even in public speaking, I will be using his name a lot more. The only hope that we have is Jesus Christ. Faye had asked me a question when we were going in today at lunch after that message this morning, dealing with knowing that I am saved and I'm sure that I'm going to heaven. Why do the angels, why do all of a sudden that I'm teaching or showing that what the scripture says, that the angels escort us, what would they think they could do? Well, let me explain it this way, because I know somebody else may have that same question. What we always teach, and through God's holy word, is whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We know that. We're Christians. We've accepted Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior of our life. We know that. All that you got to see this morning was the mechanism by which God is delivering us to heaven. It's not any different at all. We're going because of grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But what we saw was just a little glimpse of what the Bible calls the spiritual warfare that's going on around us. God knew that he sent the angels. Why does he still have to do that? I haven't the slightest idea, other than the war continues to rage until in its own time. Remember, Jesus said, woman, it's not my time. And Jesus would say, my time has come. So in the time that God has said, then that spiritual war will be over. But it won't be over until then. So God provided us a way. Isn't it interesting, though, that Jesus Christ, the Son...
guards to get through, not God.
That's what they are. They're guards. They're head. Yes.
To get through the area where the devil is.
That's correct. That's where all the but what you and I would have normally thought, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. You're right. But God spells out for us what he's doing to get us there. And for us to understand, that's why you and I understand something here about the happiness that we're looking for. And we understand this, that in Christ that happiness is there. And God says, now let me show you how I'm working. He just shows us a glimpse of it. But I don't know why. You know that's what he said about heaven? He said, let me give you some sort of a description of heaven. You'll hear me do this next Sunday morning about heaven. But then he says, tells us this. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered the mind of man what my Father has in store for you in heaven. So, impossible for me to think that deep. And right now, I can think pretty deep about how great heaven's going to be. So if it's above what I think it is, above what you think it's going to be, you just go right ahead and let your mind wander. Because as deep as your mind can get, it's so much better than that. But God says, here's your ticket. This is why it's being done. So that's where that scripture came from this morning. So see the opportunities. When I walk through the door, I have no power myself, but Christ does. Here's interesting, too. Do you know that the same angels, there's no separation of, okay, you know, we've got a security team and we have to change them out? Nope. Follows us from childhood. Isn't that great? I wonder if we're going to learn when we get there that God does that, assigns special angels at every birth. Wouldn't that be amazing to know? We're going to learn so much. And remember, when people said, no, we'll already know it all, Tommy, no, you're never going to know it all. You will never know what God knows, folks. Or there's some people that think they already do, but they don't. Here we go. Step one, see the opportunities. Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. We're not told in Scripture that we're not to enjoy life and look after interest. But we are told that everybody else should be first. I should think more about my congregation than I think about myself. I am the under-shepherd of Jesus Christ as a pastor in a church. Now, my concept of that is different from some pastors. I'll admit that. My concept and calling of that, as I see on me, is I'm to take care of the flock. I am to make sure that the flock is taken care of and fed properly. What is? How do I do that? That feeding is the Word of God. That type of spiritual food that the pastor is ordered by God to feed his flock. And then he will take care of the rest of it. Now, doesn't matter how many are in the flock. What makes the difference is, does the pastor or the shepherd, under-shepherd of that flock take care of what Christ says, my sheep? Take care of, feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep. So, we really do need to get our eyes off of ourselves and put our eyes on others. How many of you have trouble doing that? Really looking after other people before you look at yourself. Well, good gracious, your pastor raised his hand. It's not easy to do, people.
No.
It isn't. It's not. You've got to, you know, you look, it's just like a little boy that's got a whole cookie, and his little brother is sitting right there beside of him, and he knows that he could share that cookie and give that to the little boy. What happened? The little boy ate his brother's half of the cookie before he ate his. So his brother didn't get any. So he had to go ahead now. As the little boy thought first, he would have eaten his half and gave the other half to his brother. But that's exactly the way the human nature is. Well, as soon as I get in a shape to where I can help someone, then I will help someone. But I got to get in a position to where I can do that. Folks, it's not your position that you need to be searching for. It's Christ's position in any situation. Are you ready and willing to help others? Well, I take care of my own children. I take care of my own family. Well, good for you. Dogs do that. Good for you that you take care of your own children and your own family. I got news for you, folks. Every one of us are related in Christ. We are the family of God together. Has nothing to do with biological association. It has to do with spiritual relationship. When you and I have the same spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ, it's called we're saved. When we have that same spiritual relationship, then we are the family. You all know it as well as I do, that, and you've heard me enough to understand that you all, my church is closer to me than my own siblings. Oh, God, I've never been around them, not around them. So we grow in that relationship. Well, let me start teaching again before I start preaching, okay? We need to see the hurt, the hopelessness, the helplessness, the heartache that is all around us. Why don't we? We're commanded by God to look for it. But what happens to us is we say, why am I going to look for that? I got enough of my own. I got so much heartache, so much loneliness, so many problems of my own. The hopelessness is all over me. And yet, you're saying that the Bible says I am to see the hurt in others? My friend, I can tell you this as a fact of Scripture. You will never find relief in your hopelessness until you get your face out of your own self and put your face looking at someone else's hopelessness. The way we help ourselves is by helping others. We are delivering God's message to people when we help them. And then that's the cure for our hopelessness. Seeing someone that is more needy, what do we say? In this world today, every nation is more needy than we are in the United States of America. But you and I so often have trouble helping people that are our neighbors or across the street. Oh, their situation is so hopeless. Then that's Jesus saying to you, the Holy Spirit saying to you, sick 'em. That's like saying sick 'em to a dog. If someone is hurting, get there. Because if you have that hurt, that's the way that hurt is broken. It's by you helping someone else who is hurting. Don't spend all your time on self. Don't see it as a problem, okay? But as an opportunity to be used to touch and to change lives for the glory of God. Whatever you do for the glory of God will prosper. Anybody got trouble with that? Whatever you do for the glory of God will prosper. If you look out for the needs of others, you can rest assured, guaranteed, that God will look out for your needs. Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply all your needs. You see any limit to that? And all mean everything, every need that you might even think about? According to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, all my needs are going to be taken care of according to the power that Jesus possesses. You got it? My needs are not going to be taken care of according to my power, my human strength. And my God will supply all your needs. Supply, you know, all your needs will be taken care of according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, the first step must lead to the second step. You ready for it? First step was see opportunities. Second step is serve others. That's what Jesus was teaching them. Knowing what these disciples were doing, do you know what these disciples were doing before Jesus started washing their feet? They were arguing about who was the greatest. They were arguing about who was the greatest. And what does Jesus do? He walks into an argument of who's the greatest. The Son of God walks in, takes off his coat, wraps a towel around him so he can dry off their feet and starts washing their feet. Now, that ought to get somebody's attention. Well, it did. Now, let's go through this. Luke 22:24-26 again. And there arose also a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be greatest. Oh, my words. The ones closest to Jesus was in an argument about who's the greatest. And he said to them, well, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them. And those who have authority over them, they're called benefactors. But it is not this way with you, Christian. It is not this way with you. But the one who is the greatest among you must become like the youngest and the leader like the servant. Got it? Okay. Their problem was our problem. They were looking in a mirror. Jesus was looking through a mirror. Getting a picture? They were focused on themselves. Jesus was focused on them. Oh, boy, he's painting a picture for them, wasn't he? Here they are arguing about who's the greatest, and Jesus wraps the towel on and starts washing their feet because he looked through the mirror and he saw them. You can't serve only people that you like either. You can't serve only people that you like. You also have to serve people that don't like you. I got a lot of serving to do because there's a lot of people out there that don't like me. Now, I would say 90% of that is my fault. But I am to give that message, the same message I'll give to people who like me through Jesus Christ is the only way. I must give that same message to those who don't like me. Picture again. I've told you all over the years that it really, really bothered me within a family that you know, you would have clothes that you wanted to, your kids have outgrown and all of this, and you get ready to give them away, and you would say, well, let's see if they fit any of the kids in the family first. All that lights my fuse, especially when the family can afford it. Well, yeah, but I don't want it wasted. I want it given. Then you're giving it for the wrong reason. Take it out in a barrel and burn it. Because what we need to do is this. If we have something to give it to somebody who don't even like you. Help out individual families that you know can't handle it. Instead of saying, well, no, you know, this will fit little nephew, or this will fit little Johnny and little Susie that we know is in the family. Just tell your relatives to buy their own clothes. You can smooth that out a little if you want to. But do you get the point on that? John 13:2. During supper, the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him. Already done. During supper, eating, supposed to be with friends. And Satan having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot. Okay, think about this, young preacher. Think about this. Jesus knew who would betray him. But Satan did not put it in Judas's heart until they'd sat down for supper to follow through with it. But Jesus knew that it was coming. What that tells us is Jesus gave him every opportunity to back out. Every opportunity. Well, then who would have betrayed Christ? I guarantee you there'd have been enough around to betray Christ. Because we already saw how it did happen. Jesus served a man whose feet were caked with the dirt of disloyalty. But he served him just the same. John 13:15. For I gave you an example, and you also should do as I did to you. Woo! Jesus said, I gave you an example. Do you ever think about that statement? Well, let's think about it for a second. Jesus said, I gave you an example of this kind of betrayer. He's talking about us. We are the example that he gave. And he said, I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you. I've done it to you. That's the example. You should be carrying that example in your heart. Did Christ not forgive us of all of our sins? Did he not forgive us for the sins past, present, and the future? He said, I've done this for you. Now you do for others what I have done for you. I want you to go deeper than this love thy neighbor as thyself. I want you to go deeper than that. I want you to love your enemy the way that I loved you. I want you to step out. Now, many people will misuse that scripture, saying, well, that's why that we are never to protect our family or do any of this. If the bad guys want to come into our homes and do all of this, then we should pray for them, but we should not lift a hand to protect our families. Don't you dare stand in the front of God and make that statement to him. Yeah, he sure would. And said, you better get a good one. Okay. If you don't take the last step, then the other two will never happen. You ready? Step 3. Surrender ourselves. That means step 3 needs to turn to step 1. John 13:6-8. Now listen to Simon Peter. This is where we began. So he came to Simon Peter and he said to him, Simon Peter says to Jesus, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. Peter said to him, Never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. You'll see what else Peter says here in a second, but I want you to look at something. It wasn't humility from Peter, but pride. Pride says I'm too good or I'm too bad. You catch that? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, not me, Lord. I am not worthy. Are there enough people? I am not worthy, Lord, to receive that blessing. Wonder how they pray those prayers in private. Now, Lord, you know I'm worthy. But I just said that out there to help you out a little bit. You know, it is amazing to me that how we Christians get so excited over our relationship with Christ, but we're not excited enough to go reach out to the ones, very ones that God has sent us to share Christ with them. It goes back to the old statements that we hear all the time. Yes, I'm so proud. Praise the Lord. I'm so happy. Praise the Lord. That my family saved, we're all going to heaven. Isn't there more to it than that? If they're all saved, shouldn't everybody be going outside and leading others that don't know Christ? Salvation is the point that you and I are called to put our feet to the words. When we know that we're saved and we're going to heaven and we say that we are excited, should we not even be more excited that if you or I were blessed with having the ability to know the cure for cancer, would we not stand on a mountaintop and yell it out? So, you know, for your health's sake, here's the answer. Well, for your spirit's sake, here's the answer. Jesus Christ, accepting him as Lord and Savior. All the other stuff is foolishness. All the other stuff is nothing. You wait till we get to heaven. I hope I get to come around and shake my finger and say, I told you. Think of that. Think of that. Yeah, my finger is getting crooked. God will give me a new one that's not crooked. So what you think of and what you remember is this, my friends. Don't brag about poverty. Don't brag and use pride from that you've got too much or you're too bad or too bad off. Both are pride, prideful statements. John 13:9, Simon Peter said to him, now listen to this one, Lord, then wash not only my feet but also my hands and my head. One thing about Peter, you never knew what he's going to say next, did you? Gosh, it's so amazing. Yeah, he reminds me of us. Doesn't he remind you of you all the time? Yeah. We would have been buddies in trouble all the time. I can tell you that. Gosh. You know what I always saw myself as really getting along with was John the Baptist. Yeah, I would have really loved that guy. And let me tell you something about it. I have on the CDs the tape of the Bible being read. So I'm sitting in my office, and what you do when you study all the time, then I get the character in my mind. I see him a certain way. And then I hear his voice a certain way. And so here I am running the CD and listening to the scripture being read to me, and John the Baptist is coming out of the wilderness, and this voice comes on that was so feminine. I mean, it just blew my mind. I said, John the Baptist didn't come out of the wilderness talking like that. He did not do it. You know, had that big voice and all of this. So I haven't listened to it since. I really haven't. I've cut it off. I've got it on my computer, but I cannot handle it when you know, they come out and with that sissy stuff. Okay. Salvation is to the soul what a bath is to the body. Salvation is to the soul what a bath is to the body. It's the washing. It's the washing or washing, whatever it is, according to where you are. Okay? Titus 3:5, God saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth. Not anything that we've done good. Oh, I know, you know, I got to get myself ready so the Lord will save me. But that kind of attitude, you've gone a long way off before salvation's going to hit. You see what I mean? You don't put it into you. It is a gift from God. It is a gift through the grace of God with faith in his son, Jesus Christ. The kind of faith that says, we believe you, Lord. We believe that you are the Savior of the world. We believe that one day we'll get to be with you in your heavenly realm, and we will be with you forever. So therefore, Lord, if I got to carry out the slop buckets on earth until you return, be it ever so humble. This helps us to understand what Jesus said in verses 10 and 11. You ready for those? John 13, 10 and 11. He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean. Oh, now listen. But not all of you. For he knew the one who was betraying him. For this reason he said, not all of you are clean. Jesus looked to the heart. That's interesting though, wasn't it? Jesus washed the feet of the very one who was betraying him. That's humility. Now, you all know what we would do if we walked in and knew one was betraying us. And washing your feet. You're not going to have any feet before you leave here, so it's not going to do any good. That's it. That's the human approach. What Jesus did was put his Father's approach in his human condition. If you have never been bathed by Jesus Christ, you're dirty. No matter how pleasant you may appear on the outside. Folks, sitting in a pew does not make you a Christian. Grace from God through faith in Jesus Christ makes you a Christian. Not of your own works, lest you would boast. And God says, here it is. I love you. And I'll show my love through my only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That's what Easter is all about. That's what you and I should place in our heart of knowing something. And that something is this. Nothing, no kind of work that we could ever do would earn us what we have been given through grace and faith in Jesus Christ. You can't do it.